carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods. You're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Indian Network, and our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about the Constitution, which is the foundation of our freedom. Well, it is the second foundation of our freedom. The first foundation is our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, the only way we can possibly combat this organized evil which controls our government today, and it does, the Trilateral Commission and the CFR totally control our government, and they are certainly an occult, founded in the occult. But basically, to counter that, we have to understand the foundations of our freedom, which is the Constitution, which is not taught in schools, which our elected officials certainly swear an oath to uphold and don't believe in, and they're violating at every turn. But we must understand the foundation of our freedom and then, looking to the Lord for support, try to regain that freedom, which is rapidly being destroyed, and once destroyed, will never be returned. David Whitney, you pick up the story about our Constitution.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, it's a blessing to be with you and also with your listeners. Our founders had a biblical view of humankind. That is, they looked at mankind, and they had a certain degree of respect for him because he's created in God's image and therefore has dignity, and because he's created in God's image, he has rights that God has given to mankind. But they also knew that mankind is depraved, fallen into sin, and therefore not to be trusted, never to be trusted with unlimited power. So they were very careful as they worked on the Constitution, those seven articles of the Constitution. But the interesting thing is in the ratification debates, that is, once the Constitution was drafted, it was sent to the 13 states for ratification, and each state held a convention, and in that convention they debated the pros and cons and whether that state was going to ratify the Constitution. Many of those states refused to ratify the Constitution because they said it lacked one very, very important thing, a Bill of Rights. A Bill of Rights that would restrict the federal government in its power and its reach and would secure certain things to the people that the federal government could never trample upon, never trample upon. And there was objections to those who were saying, we need a Bill of Rights. Hamilton was one of those, Alexander Hamilton, who was a strong nationalist, a centralist, and he said, wait a minute, a Bill of Rights could be dangerous because you, in listing your Bill of Rights, may not have a complete list. That is, if you sat down the night and wrote out all of your God-given rights, you might miss one or two or 10 or 20. You might miss a whole number of rights. And his contention was, Alexander Hamilton, that if it wasn't written down in a Bill of Rights, then you forfeited that right to the government. So maybe you said you had a right to life and you had a right to liberty and you had a right to property, but you forgot your right to freedom of speech or forgot your right to freedom of religion and so on. Any of those rights not listed in such a document, Hamilton was claiming, would therefore be forfeited to the federal government. And that would make a very dangerous situation, that the Bill of Rights was an assumption that all rights not listed there would be forfeited. Well, the crafted Ninth Amendment, which is what we're looking at this morning, the Ninth Amendment was crafted to answer that objection specifically. It says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That is, the whole purpose of government is to secure our God-given rights. And just because the Bill of Rights doesn't list all of those God-given rights doesn't mean any of those rights have been surrendered in ratifying this Constitution and ratifying the Bill of Rights. A very important principle that we have rights given to us by God, and that's and that the whole purpose of government, the only purpose of government, is to secure those God-given rights. That was our founders' understanding, so much so that they argued that, hey, we don't need a Bill of Rights because any power not clearly delegated to the federal government, they have no power to do anything about it. So our Constitution, seven articles of our Constitution, says nothing about freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. It says nothing about any of those subjects. Therefore, the federal government cannot do anything about any of those areas whatsoever. In other words, the Constitution is a restrictive document restricting the federal government to only those things listed in there. The only powers they have are Article 1, Section 8.
Hey,
think of that mindset.
If I could just intercede for a moment, I think it's so vitally important for the audience to understand that the founding fathers recognized the fact that the people throughout all history, when they've had democracies, have always voted themselves into dictatorship. That is why they didn't want to establish a democracy in America, because they recognized what Plato had said, and that these people, I certainly had read the great classics of Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, and Plato had made it so clear, democracies always degenerate into despotism. Democracies degenerate into despotism because people will vote themselves into tyranny. I mean, everybody wants something for nothing. Why not simply vote so I get special rights, and then, you know, they'll take it from somebody else, but why shouldn't I be able to get it? We got it legitimately through a democratic society. And so eventually you keep voting yourself more and more rights, and because I want to pay taxes to cover all these wonderful things I'm getting. So eventually the whole thing goes bankrupt. Plato recognized that, our founding fathers did, and that's why they wanted to limit the power of government so people could not vote themselves into tyranny, exactly as we've done today. Go right ahead, David.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, it's the mindset of our founders was basically 180 degrees opposite of the mindset of 99 or more percent of those in Washington, D.C. today, because they argued that you don't really need a Bill of Rights because the listing of anything other than what Article 1, Section 8 is unnecessary. We've only given the federal government these powers listed in Article 1, Section 8. The federal government can do nothing other than that. And you look at that list of 18 items, and some would say it's only 17, but, you know, quibble over that one. But let's say it's 18 items there in Article 1, Section 8. And ask the question, for example, is education on the list? Education is not on the list of the powers that we have granted to the federal government. Therefore, the federal government cannot regulate anything about education. Therefore, the federal government cannot tax and spend a penny on anyone's education or do anything with education at all, period. Our founders understood that. That was very clear. Federal government has only those listed powers and none other. So we have a Department of Education completely unconstitutional. Every dollar...
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. We're just before the break talking about the Department of Education is completely illegal. That is, there's no power granted by our Constitution for the federal government to regulate or to tax and spend anything to do with education of anyone in our country or any other country. And therefore, every tax dollar spent by the Department of Education is nothing short of theft. They're stealing from the American people to spend money they have no permission to spend. My friend Michael Pruka has drawn a picture of this, an analogy. If your son named Barry were to come to you one day and say, "Hey, Dad, let me show you my brand new car. And let's take a drive. Let's take a spin, and we'll go out and drive this car and come back home and your wife asks you if your son Barry drove the car rightly, that is, correctly. Did he obey the speed limit?" "Well, yeah, he did." "Did he obey the stop sign and the red lights and all the traffic regulations? Was he driving correctly? Was he driving rightly?" And you might answer, "Yes, everything was right." But what a difference it would make if before your wife asked that question, "Did he drive it rightly?" if your county sheriff were to call you and inform you that the car your son Barry was driving was a stolen vehicle. No matter how rightly he may have been driving it, because he stole the vehicle, he could not rightly drive it. He had no power, no authority to drive it. And the analogy is drawn then to our federal government. All the things they do that are in violation of the Constitution are like driving a stolen car. So whatever debate they might have about they're staying under the speed limit or they're following the rules of the road. No, they have no authority to drive that vehicle. It is a stolen vehicle. So the Department of Education is a stolen vehicle. We could talk about all the other departments in the federal government. Most of the alphabet soup list of agencies are completely illegal. They're a violation of the law. Contrast the view of our founders with that of the current resident in the White House, who one of his nom de plume was Barry, right? He claims that he has a pen and he has a telephone, and therefore he's going to do whatever he pleases in spite of Congress. In other words, he's going to make himself the legislature. He's going to be the law, and whatever he puts pen or whatever telephone call he makes the law. We've seen illustrations of this with Obamacare, which we know is completely unconstitutional in and of itself. But the law itself has required things that he suspended and said, "Well, we're not going to do that till whenever." This man is a law breaker. He is the thief who's stolen our federal government, not alone. I mean, he's got plenty of accomplices, both in the Justice Department and in the judiciary and in the legislative branch, all kinds of people who've conspired together with him to violate our Constitution. Our founder said there's nothing that the federal government can do except the list of 18 things in Article 1, Section 8. Anything they do outside that is a violation of the law, for which they should be impeached if they're in the executive or judicial branch, for which they should be removed from their seat in the Senate or their seat in the House of Representatives for violating their oath of office. Our founders were trusting that the people who would come behind them would actually follow the law that they took an oath to uphold. They know that law and they'd follow that law. And we see that most of them have no idea what the law actually says. They believe the lying lawyers in black robes, which is what most of our judiciary is, with few notable exceptions, but the lying lawyers in black robes who say, "Oh, don't believe what you see there on paper in the Constitution. This is what it means. It means something entirely different than what you think it means." A good example that now is 41 years in the running is Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade actually tried to argue that the Ninth Amendment to our Constitution, this Ninth Amendment we're talking about, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. They claim that the Ninth Amendment said that a woman had a right to an abortion, a right to hire a contract killer to murder the baby in her womb. And that therefore the Ninth Amendment said, even though this is not specified anywhere in the Constitution, this is a right retained by the people, a right to murder. Well, wait a minute. Where did that right come from? All rights are God-given rights. How do we know what's right and what is wrong? We know it from God's law. And God's law clearly says abortion is not a right. It is a wrong. It is murder. And the penalties for murder are specified in God's word very, very clearly. First-degree murder, the penalty is death. So in opposition to what our founders viewed, there is a supreme law of the universe, God's law. He determines what is right and what is wrong. That's universal, applies to every nation, in every kingdom, everywhere, and without exception. That supreme law of the universe is the determination of where rights come from and what those rights are. And you have no right to do something that is wrong, to do something that is a violation of God's law. And we could cite numerous examples today where our federal government has declared what God said is wrong, they have said it is right. Sodomy is a most current example of that. Lawrence v. Texas, that Supreme Court case, they said God's law that says sodomy is a crime, sodomy is immoral, sodomy is illegal. They said, no, it's not. It's the opposite. Sodomy is constitutional. Sodomy is moral. Sodomy is legal, is what they said in their wicked wicked opinion, Lawrence v. Texas. So because they've rejected the worldview of our founders, there is a creator God, our rights come from him, and the sole purpose of government is to secure those God-given rights. Because they have rejected that foundation, they have rejected an American government. They've rejected an American view of law and government, and everything that our founders crafted, they are going about destroying piece by piece by piece. So when our founders crafted the Ninth Amendment, they knew it was based upon the fact that we have God-given rights that may never be mentioned by the Constitution or even by the Bill of Rights. And those God-given rights are found in God's law given to us in God's word. Again, many people would say, wait a minute, Dave, where's your proof that they believe the Bible to be the source of law? We go back to the Declaration of Independence. It's very clear in the Declaration of Independence. It is stated that the foundation for what they were doing in forming this new government and forming a new country, the foundation and the rationale, the reason they could do this, was the laws of nature and nature's God. That phrase has a long history behind it, going way back into medieval theology, but clearly the expression was used by William Blackstone, who was the authority for our founders regarding law. His books, the commentaries on the laws of England, they all read them. They all knew what he said, that there's three forms of law. The laws of nature, which is what God has written on human hearts, human conscience and reason. The laws of nature's God is a phrase that they basically paraphrased what Blackstone said, because he said the laws of nature, revealed law, which Blackstone said is found only in the Bible. Laws of nature, revealed law, and then Blackstone said there was municipal law, and that is what human beings craft. And he added that municipal law, what human beings craft as law, is only valid if it complies fully with the first two, the laws of nature and the revealed law. And so when our founders were saying that in the Declaration of Independence, our reasons for separating from Great Britain, our legitimacy for forming a new government is based upon the laws of nature and nature's God, they were saying God's law revealed in creation, and then God's law given to us in the Bible. These are the foundations of law. And if anything claims to be law, if any human beings spill ink on a piece of paper and they, you know, sign it into law and the judiciary says it's law and so on, it's not law unless it complies with the laws of nature and nature's God. Quite clearly, something like Roe v. Wade doesn't comply with it. No, obviously not. Something like Lawrence v. Texas and the promotion of sodomy. That does not comply with the laws of the Creator at all. These things are not law. And so the Ninth Amendment is given to help us, secure us, this objection that perhaps the government is going to trample upon our God-given rights, claiming that, well, you didn't put it in the document that you had a right to free speech, or that you had a right to religion, or you had a right to a trial by jury. You didn't put that right down, and therefore you've lost that right. And this Ninth Amendment says, no, the government has to abide by God's law. Your God-given rights are what it exists to protect. So the problem, however, in the modern interpretation of the courts, is that the courts have given themselves authority to create new rights, that is, rights that are not given to us by God in His Word, in His law. These creating new rights, a right to sodomy now, the Supreme Court says, or a right to murder your unborn baby. Or you could list a whole lot of other rights, a right to steal from your neighbor in order to educate your own child, which, by the way, is really what public education is all about, saying, I have a right to force other people to educate my child. And again, that is in violation of God's law, which says, no, it is the parents' responsibility to educate their own children, to pay for the education of their own children. And if they choose to hire somebody to do that, a tutor, a schoolmaster, what have you, no problem. But if they choose to do it themselves and pay it, then that's their choice. And so these kind of decisions all hinge on whether we're going to follow God's law and protect God-given rights, or whether we're going to have the tyranny of the majority of people forcing other people to have their God-given rights violated by them. So that's the Ninth Amendment, a very important amendment protecting us from a government that would say we're gonna tyrannize and overrule your rights instead of protect and secure those God-given rights.
Well, David, I would simply point out the fact that what we never mentioned is the fact that there really are satanic organizations in America. There are people who worship Satan. There are organized satanic groups, and they are basically behind pushing homosexuality and abortion and certainly all of these things which are an affront to God. They're working at the highest levels of our government. These things are not happening by accident. They're happening because of a coordinated effort, and certainly they have their people planted in the Supreme Court and certainly in our court system at every level of our government. Until people understand there are powerful spiritual forces behind this effort to destroy America, we're not going to be able to address it. We're not going to be able to address it on our own. We're going to have people praying, and I mean on a regular basis, and we need churches that will take that position of leadership, because this is a spiritual battle. And so there are wicked people there, but these things are not happening by accident. This is all being coordinated very skillfully to destroy the fabric of our society. And we're going to have to address this, not simply from a legal point of view, but from a spiritual point of view. We go right ahead, David.
Oh, amen, Dr. Sten, because unless there is a repentance on the part of America and revival, we know that God's curses, not God's blessing, not God bless America, but God's curses are going to fall upon our land. And we would be amiss to think that somehow we can get away with the murders of 55 million of his innocent unborn children, and that he will not punish us unless there is a very sharp turning away from that evil and a repentance that and a revival in our land. And really, you're absolutely right. It's a spiritual battle that's played out in the political arena, and that spiritual battle is won by bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ, you know, one heart at a time. And as they come to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us what we do. We just don't bring them to conversion. That's just the first step. It's to make disciples of them. That was Christ's commission to his church, go make disciples, and then he defines what that involves, baptizing them and then teaching them to obey, observe all that I have commanded you. So we really haven't made a disciple. We haven't fulfilled the commission Christ has given to his church until we teach somebody all of God's commands as it relates to every area of life, what they are to be doing. And if Christians were truly accomplishing this in terms of making disciples, those disciples would be doing what Christ commands them to do in their family life. and families would be strengthened, and in their church life and in civil government, because all Christians are citizens and therefore have responsibilities as a Christian citizen as to what they should do in the civil body politic. So if that were to take place, in a true revival, repentance, and truly making disciples, those disciples would step forward in the political world and make the changes needed to restore true liberty based on God's law.
Hold that thought, David. We'll be back in just a moment with my guest, Pastor David Ritzy.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Before we go on, David, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute, how they can get one of your packets and begin teaching the Constitution to their friends. And ladies and gentlemen, this is being done all over the country. There's a tremendous response. There are more people suddenly beginning to understand the importance of the Constitution, who are then getting the packets and beginning to teach in their communities. You're not going to hear about this because the media in America is rigidly controlled. But David, tell our listeners how to get in touch with your organization, how to get a packet, and how to start teaching others about the Christian foundation of our Constitution and this country. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and it is a blessing. We are seeing tremendous growth. I was out in Ohio last month graduating 500 students who in the past 6 months have taken our course there, and many of those, I think 40 or 50 of those are training this month right now to become hosts themselves and start classes of their own. But you really, what you need is just to go through the course in order to conduct the course. We put together what we call a host kit, and that host kit is designed to take a person who has really no background in history or expertise in law. You don't need that. But our 12 lectures take a person through the foundations of law and government and the biblical view of law and government of our founders, and then gives them a working knowledge of the founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments. And it is a turnkey system. That is, anyone can do this. We've packaged this together in a host kit that includes the 12 lectures on DVD, and then the student manual that contains an outline of each of those lectures, as well as test questions and supplemental reading that is part of the homework designed for each of those sessions. All of that together with six supplemental DVDs that deal with additional, more in-depth topics. Everything you need to conduct a course in your community is in this host kit. People can obtain that either by calling us toll-free here at Institute on the Constitution. Our toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or if you like, you can go to our website and purchase it through our web store. Our website is theamericanview.com, all one word, theamericanview.com. On the front page there, you'll see a tab for courses. When you click on that, the first one there is the U.S. Constitution course. That we do offer other courses on a jury, and we have one state constitution course currently and some additional courses. But the U.S. Constitution course is the foundation. That's where to start. And we would encourage everyone to go there, take a look at that. And there's many options as to whether you get the full host kit, which gives you everything you need to conduct a class, or just a student version, which just gives you the 12 DVD lectures and the student notebook if you want to take it first before you decide to host a class. All that the information is there. We encourage you to go to our website, theamericanview.com, and click on the courses, U.S. course, and check that out. Or call us if you prefer to do it that way and purchase a host kit by calling us toll-free at 1-866-730-9796. And as I said, we have hosts all over the country. They are finding it very, very easy to start a class. But one of the fears we know that someone faced in hosting a class like this is that somebody's going to raise their hand in class and ask a question that's not answered in the lecture or not answered in the student manual in the notebook, and that they will be kind of on the spot embarrassed, like, I don't have the answer to that. That's fine. What you need to say is, that is an excellent question. Thank you for asking that question. We'll get an answer back to you by next week when we gather again for class. And we here at Institute on the Constitution serve as a backup for everyone hosting these courses throughout the country. You can call us. Our toll-free number there, 866-730-9796. Or you can email us and email questions to us, questions at theamericanview.com. And we will get an answer back to you as a host in time for your next session. So you can take all the questions that come in the session that aren't answered by the lecture or in the student materials that they have, and give them that answer the following week. So we want this to be an experience for the host that is really enjoyable. And again, the testimony we have from so many of the hosts across the country that have done this is like, they were thrilled. They realized that they could do something practical, tangible, palpable to restore liberty, restore our constitutional republic. They could act, and they might be frustrated that it seems like every time they vote somebody and they send them down there to Washington, D.C., they become corrupted in a matter of weeks, and they're useless to freedom. And likewise, maybe when they send people to their state, well, it just doesn't seem to accomplish what they want to see, the restoration of liberty and freedom. But this can be done, and actually this is essential. For if we do not have Americans that understand our founders' view of law and government, hey, they'll listen to the lying shills that are on the media, talking heads that tell them the Constitution allows Barack Obama to do whatever he pleases. After all, he's the executive. He can do what he pleases. He's got a pen. He's got a telephone. There's no limit on his authority. Ignore those words you see on paper. So we can only restore liberty in our land if the citizens understand the standard by which they are to choose officials they're going to send to represent them in the federal government and state government. If they know the standard by which a person who is appointed as a judge is to be measured, whether he's abiding by the Constitution or not. If we don't know the standard, we cannot cause our elected officials who represent us to hold the feet to the fire of everyone who takes an oath to that Constitution. If we don't know the standard, we won't know how to evaluate, oh, for example, the fellow who's running for sheriff in our county. Does he know his duty? Does he know his job? So this is essential. If we're going to restore liberty, the citizens have got to step up to the plate. They've got to know the standard, which is our U.S. Constitution, Declaration, Bill of Rights. And if they do know that standard, then they can make a difference. And I know we're at a pretty dark hole at this point as a country, and people are getting desperate, which is why they're calling for Article 5 convention, which is the wrong. That's not going to solve the problem. That's going to get us deeper into the hole. That's like what the one rule of the hole is. When you realize you're in a hole, stop digging. Climb out of the hole. Don't dig anymore. And Article 5 convention that people are calling for, that just dig us deeper into the hole. There's a whole bunch of other things people are attempting because they don't understand our founders' view of law and government, and they don't know how to communicate that to others. That's what our host kit is designed to do, help you communicate these truths to others without having to be an expert yourself, give you a simple turnkey way in which to gather a group of people. We have people gathered in churches, some in community centers and libraries, and some in their own home, just gathering people in their living room and, you know, half a dozen people in their own living room to conduct classes. So all over America, this is happening, but we need more people on board. We need millions and millions of Americans who not only grasp these principles of our founders, but then know what to do with them. And that's what we do in the last two lectures of the 12 that talk about what's happened to transform America from our founders' view of biblical absolutes to the evolutionary humanistic relativism of today, and in the 12th lecture, how to take it back. What are the things that we need to do to restore? So it's encouraging, and I know that we're one of the more bright spots on the horizon is we're working with sheriffs across the country, helping them train their deputies, helping them raise up a body of citizens who can see that in their county, the Constitution is restored as the rule of law, and the sheriff is the one that can do that on the local level.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear Up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! During the winter, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority wishing everyone a great and safe new year. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to GreatPlainsSolar.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, back for our last session on the Constitution this morning. Go right ahead, David.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. One thing that's worth noting here is the word retained in the Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. We need to remember that our founders didn't think of these amendments as the source of any rights whatsoever. No, these amendments were to secure rights that were given by God. I think oftentimes we make a mistake in our language. People talk about my Second Amendment rights as if their right to keep and bear arms comes from the Second Amendment. No, the Second Amendment is not the source of your right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment is to secure that right to keep and bear arms that comes from God. And so that's, I think, often our language gets a little fuzzy because we think of the founding documents as the source of our rights. They are not the source of our rights. The document that spells out the source of those rights is the Bible, clearly identifying that our rights are given to us by God. They're God-given rights. He is the source of our rights, not the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights. They are a document detailing how those rights are to be secured by the civil government. So I think that's an important distinction to make. In fact, when we think of the Bill of Rights, in a sense, I think the Anti-Federalists were correct in this, that it was a mistake not to have a Bill of Rights in the Constitution, and the correction of that mistake was these first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. But when you look at the state constitutions, it was always the other way around. The Bill of Rights, or some states, like my state here, calls it a Declaration of Rights. That's the very first statement of the Constitution. When they sat down in 1776 after Declaration of Independence to craft a state constitution for Maryland, they first specified a Bill of Rights, a Declaration of Rights. These are the rights we declare because it expresses the purpose of government, the purpose of the state civil government, is to secure these enumerated rights. We're going to list these rights here, and this is what our job description essentially is. Then, following that Declaration of Rights in that state constitution are the body, the articles of the Constitution, which are kind of the nuts and bolts, how it is that the civil government is going to secure those rights that are delineated in the Declaration of Rights that preceded. So I think that the state constitutions, early on at least, they got it correct that they put the Bill of Rights first, followed then by the articles describing how it was the civil government was going to secure those rights, because they are God-given rights. And I think that's the key thing that has been lost in America today, that the purpose of government is only to secure our God-given rights. And were we to just be able to get that across to the American populace, government's not there to provide for you, for your children's education. Government's not there to provide health care. Government's not there to provide a job or to provide a floor for a living wage or whatever people want. No, it's only there to secure your God-given rights. All those other things, they're up for you as people to figure them out. They're not the job of government to secure. It's only your God-given rights that government's about securing. And honestly, if we look at both, not just the federal government, but most state governments, they don't understand that at all. In fact, now that we're getting close to an election, you'll have plenty of people vying for your votes for a primary that'll come in a couple months, and then on into the general election in November. And the most important question you can ask anybody running for any office, whether it's dog catcher or a senator, the most important question is, what is the purpose of government? What is the purpose of government? And if you hear anything other than the answer of our founders, spelled out clearly in the Declaration of Independence, that the purpose of government is to secure and protect your God-given rights. If you hear any of the socialist answers, oh, it's to provide a level playing field, to do for people that which they cannot do for themselves, and on the list goes of other answers. You know, if the person answers with anything other than that view, that the only purpose of government is to secure your God-given rights, you know they are not worthy of your vote. You shouldn't waste your vote on somebody who's going to further the socialist destruction of our God-given rights in this land by voting for them. even if you have to leave it blank. I hate to do that. I know when I go into a voting booth, I like to fill in all the things, but sometimes, you know, the lesser two evils is still evil. And so we vote for somebody who we know is a socialist, and we know they're going to further destroy it, but they're going to destroy it a little bit less than this other guy. It might be better to leave it blank. It might be better that we basically object and say, none of the above. You know, there's nobody here in this category that holds the founder's view of law and government and knows what their job truly is. And that's I know that's a pretty big step to take, but I think as we gain ground in terms of the numbers of people across America who regain our founder's vision of government, limited to the job of securing our God-given rights, and that's the only thing it's to do, we can see liberty restored. And again, I have much more hope on the local level to see that happen. Your county sheriff, as I mentioned before the break, is one of the most important individuals, and some encouraging things happening. A Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association that we're working with, helping sheriffs train their departments on these foundational principles. They recently put together a resolution that many sheriffs have begun to sign. And that resolution, one element of it says, the sheriff is committed to prohibiting any federal agent, anybody from Washington, D.C., taking actions against any of the citizens in their county unless they have first gotten approval from the sheriff. So they've got to come to the sheriff first before the IRS steals anybody's property in the county. They've got to come to the sheriff first before the EPA is going to shut down some business in their county. The sheriff is going to seek to follow the Constitution and limit the federal government to doing only those things that the federal government are literally given the power to do, Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. Dr. Stan, is a very encouraging movement, and I applaud the sheriffs who are brave enough to sign that, but I would encourage Americans to begin questioning your local sheriff about what he believes the purpose of government is. Would he resist federal encroachment in his county where the federal government is breaking the law? That is, they're violating the Constitution in his county. Is he willing to step up to the plate and say, no, sorry, Mr. Fed, you're not going to do that here. You're not going to violate the rights of the citizens in my county, you know, on my watch. If we had American citizens who knew that that's the job of government and who demanded their sheriff to abide by that standard, wow, we would see liberty springing up county after county after county across America. So those are some of the encouraging things.
We're out of time, David. God bless. Thanks very much. Talk to you later.
God bless you, Dr. Stan. Thank you for all your good work.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan, we hope that you enjoy the conversations with a pastor, David Whitney, but you must understand there really are satanic forces in America. There really are organized groups. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, have their origin in the occult. And, of course, they are the fronts for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891 for the specific purpose of taking control of the world and then imposing this one world government under the control of a ruling elite. How do we know they created the secret society? Well, Professor Quigley, Carol Quigley, stumbled across this. He went to England in 1946 to study the structure of English hierarchy there, and he was told by a friend, Professor Alfred Zimmern, who is a professor at Oxford, about the secret society. But of course, Professor Zimmern insisted that and got Professor Quigley to promise he would never tell anyone about this secret society, because Professor Zimmern feared for his life. And I've encountered other people who've talked about this secret society who fear for their lives, and basically because we're dealing with evil people. They kill people. I've interviewed professional assassins trained by the CIA to be assassins. If you haven't heard our 4-tape set on the invisible government, you need to get it. The 4-tape set on deadly assassins. You can get that by calling 800-606-5462. I interview two professional assassins. Both of them are dead today. This is the way the world really works. And if certainly Professor Quigley has written extensively about the secret society that became the Round Table, that became the Royal Institute for International Affairs in England, and the Council on Foreign Relations here, and of course the Council on Foreign Relations controlled our society up to 1973 when the Trilateral Commission was founded. And the Trilateral Commission is the total control of our government today. Certainly, it's not by accident that between 1977 and the year 2009, every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Three out of the four directors of the Federal Reserve System, six of the eight secretaries of state and eight of the 10 secretaries of defense, they all came from this little organization. They control America, and they're using our military and financial power to bring about a world dictatorship under their control, and they're going to take us into a war. It's not a matter of if, but when, as they've taken us into the First World War and the Second World War and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and Gulf War I and Gulf War II, all senseless wars. They think nothing about wars and revolutions and murdering world leaders. We're dealing with organized evil. And until we understand that, why we'll be totally incapable of addressing it. Basically, how can we counter them? We're going to have to do it with prayer. We're going to have to rely on our Lord. And basically, you need to get down on your knees and begin praying for America. And your church will do this, and we'll have sessions where there will be prayer for our country, because on our own, there's no way we can counter the organized evil that exists today with countless trillions of dollars at their disposal, the ability to create money, controlling the Federal Reserve, controlling the banks. Ladies and gentlemen, there's six major banks that control 67% of the assets of our country. If you don't believe it, go up on the Internet, type it in Google. Six banks control 67% of our assets, and they all tie into the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and these demonic forces. You're going to have to start praying, ladies and gentlemen. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Our telephone number 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow.